So this morning, I'm going to continue teach and preach concerning prayer. And many of us pray, but we don't understand why sometimes we don't get prayer answered. But there are hindrances to our prayer. Amen? I would love maybe to take my time and go through every scripture, read them for you, so you could digest it and everything. But I'm hoping that I could give you some of them and you could write them down. And as the Spirit lead me, I'm going to break them. Amen? So if you have a pen or you have a paper, whatever you want, notes, or if you don't want to because you want to enjoy every drop of it right now, you could also do that and get your information later on, because I'm more than willing to give you the information I got anytime and every time. Amen? I think it is very important for me or whoever as a minister is always making themselves available to give information. Because like I says, I have the information. Now you got to do the, help me church, application. Amen? Or you have to apply this information that I got. Amen? And as I go to the Word of God, that text that we read, I'm only going to take a couple of verses out of that text. I don't want to really stay too long on that text, but if you go to Psalm 66, amen, hallelujah. Let me get my, thank you, Lord. Psalm 66, right? We read that passage. And if you study this passage, this is a passage of thanksgiving. No doubt in my mind concerning Thanksgiving just went. I'm sure we all had a wonderful time with the turkey. Not being the turkey, but with the turkey. Amen? And some of us who wanted to be a turkey, well, hey. But thank God, you know, I know we all enjoyed our Thanksgiving. For me, it's a blessing. I don't remember the last month or week that I had a couple of days off. You know, I enjoyed myself. I get to do little thing at home, me and my son and my family. You know, and for me, that's a blessing. And it's also a blessing to be out there. You know, I picture myself that wherever God has me at the moment, it is a blessing. I don't care where he has me, but I look at it and I believe God that he's in control, because the word says that the steps of the righteous is ordained by him. So sometimes, how many times have you been somewhere and you get real agitated? You're not happy. You're just not happy. Then who you think is in control then? I just changed your thought complete just now, dear, right? But that's got a reason why, because this is speaking volume in your spirit that you have to understand that wherever you are, if you are a child of God, if the steps of the righteous is ordained by him, then in other words, wherever you are, you have to say praise God. You got to say thank you, Lord. I'll leave that because I could just keep on right on that subject right there, but I'm not, because I have prayer for you. And I want to give you some information concerning hindrance. See, we all many times go and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, but we never stop to understand sometimes when we don't get answer. The first thing we blame, well, God never hear me. God must take a little nap. And we could go with a bunch of different little flaws, amen? But we never want to do like what tree is doing if I point. See, if I point to pastor, instead of one is going up, we first blame God, then I blame pastor. But I don't understand that three more is pointing right to me. You see those three fingers here? If I point, who are those three pointing to? To me. And I never want to accept that I'm the issue and I'm the problem. You got that, right? I hope that the ring and bell right now. So first thing, you have to understand what position you are in. This is teaching about prayer, because how many of us want to be a prayer warrior? I think all of us, if we are a Christian. Amen? That's just what it's supposed to be. Because, you know, prayer is universal. The Hindus, they pray, but I don't know who they pray to. I could keep on going, right? They all pray. Everybody pray. Even the sinners, they pray. That's not wrong, because that's how you get saved, when you pray to your Savior. Amen? So I'm not knocking the sinners. Because we are all, or were, if you are not at the point right now, because you got saved, we were all sinners, saved by grace through faith. Amen? But many times we go before the throne of grace, and we have things that we don't get in order. How much of us are an orderly person? Maybe not all, but most, right? We like things fall in place, and we like things. Well, the God we serve is a God of order. Even when he created the heavens and the earth, he had his order, how he did everything until he got to us on the 6 days and he made man. So he's a God of order. So things have to be in order also when we go before God. I'm going to give you maybe 5, 6 or a little bit more. What would hinder your prayer? How many of us would want to know what might stop me not to get to the throne of grace through my prayer? I think most of us would want, right? Because it's important, church, because maybe that's just the reason why you're not getting your prayer answered. Remember the first message I preach, I'm going to just go too quick as I could do it. I teach concerning your mind. If your mind is not stayed on Christ, automatically your activities then will not be about Christ. Right? That's on my first message. The second message, I relate that. Prevent. If you're a prayer person, you could prevent a lot of the pitfalls that we go to. Because God going to show you before you get them. You cannot be with God and going through the pitfalls. Most of the time we go through the pitfalls because we're walking in the flesh. And then within those three, I says, the next one is protect. You're going to have protection when you pray and go before God. Because like I said just now, the steps of the righteous is ordained by him. So you're not going to walk into the enemy's camp without knowing that you're with the enemy. And if you're with the enemy, he'll give you discernment and he'll show you. And then the next P, which is prevent, protect, and produce. You know, some of us as Christians, we should be really, really more productive than where we are in the things of God. But our prayers and sometimes our attitude stops us from being productive. But we can through the prayer. Amen? And I did the one last week which I showed you that we cannot live for love. Because if you're living for love, when somebody don't give you love, then you have issues. You live by love. Why by love? Because Jesus has already became so that you could have. I told you, and to clear it up very much, that the Old Testament always demands. Jesus came, which brought grace, and Jesus' supply. So you already have a supply of love. You don't need to live for love. You need to live by love, which Jesus has already supplied that for you. He said, greater love had no one than one who laid down his life for his friend. Amen? So that is more than enough love for you. So if you're looking for love, I'm going to leave that alone. So now I want to give you some hindrance, and I'm going to go as neat and as nice as possible as I got. But one of the greatest hindrance in our heart is iniquity in the heart. And if you are at Psalm right now, 66, which I told you to go, we're going to read from verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God had heard me. He had attended to the voice of my prayer. He said, blessed be God, which had not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. If your heart is not right with God, you could cry till you're blue. God's not going to hear you. Amen? Church, I showed you what the word of God says. And when I give you this, I'm going to take you to the scripture so you could see it. This is why many of us, our prayers are not answered, because our heart are not right before God. You don't want your heart right before people because we can't satisfy each other down here. Because if he's God sometimes and we think he's not satisfying us, you see where the problem lies. So this is so important, as I make it the first one, church. Make sure your heart is right. If you go to Isaiah 29, it speaks something similar to your heart. And it's Isaiah 29, verse 13. I'm not going there. I'm giving you this verse. You could have it. What stops us from getting our prayer answer is refuse to hear God. Let's go there to Proverbs 28. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He said, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. This is in the Old Testament, and many preachers like myself don't like to teach or preach from the Old Testament. But because I'm a preacher of the Old Testament and the New Testament, I could tie them because Jesus already tied them together. He says the old was hidden, the new was revealed. Everything that was spoken concerning the prophet in the Old Testament, Jesus has fulfilled most of them to a T. Amen? So you see what happens sometimes, why our prayer is not answered? Because we refuse. I'm going to do a couple of them more. It's a sinful separation from God. Go couple passage right down to Isaiah 59. I want you to get your prayer answer, church. The church need to get their prayers answered. But likewise, the same thing we got to do, we got to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? Look at verse 2. He said, but your iniquity had separated between you and your God, and your sins have hide his face from you, that you will not hear. You will not hear from God, church. Your sin, if you are living a sinful life, and I'm going to use the least I think, because I could start calling sin. But the least the Bible says, he said, if you know to do good and you don't do good, hallelujah. I'd wish you'd have said a little harder. If you know to do good, church, the Bible teaches, it says, and if you don't do it, he said, it's a sin. Now, we could look at the prostitute, we could look at the murderers, we could look at this, and we could look at all of that. But see, many times what we do, we point in the fingers. And we don't understand that tree is pointing to us. I mean, he's saying, get yourself in order first before you start pointing the finger. Hallelujah. One of the things them that will separate us from God, separate us that God will not hear our prayer, is waywardness. Let's go to Jeremiah 14. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 14, and we're going to look at verse 10 to 12. He said, thus said the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord doeth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquities and visit their sins. He said, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. He said, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an obligation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. See, many times we wonder why we don't get answer to our prayer. We have to be very careful, church. One of the things that hinder our prayer is how we make our sacrifice. And I know, as I said, sacrifice, if you are somebody that likes to knock the Old Testament, you say, well, I ain't doing no sacrifice right now. Church, everything you do for God, it's a sacrifice. Sister was talking about this morning, she had to get up. And she had to make herself, tell herself, I'm going to church. I don't tell myself no more. Myself already know that I'm going to church. Because if I start telling myself, little something behind me, I said, tell yourself you don't have to go. Mm-hmm. Tell yourself, Pastor, gonna be there. You don't have to be there. I could keep on going on that, but I'm not gonna linger there. You see what I'm saying? Everything you do for Christ is a sacrifice. Going to work. You might not have a nice foreman or a nice boss, but you know something? You got to be there because you got to provide for your family. And at the same time, you pay your tithes. That's a sacrifice, church. It's not everybody like to go in their wallet. In other words, let me put it, nobody like going in their wallet. Worse for the things that they don't can't see. See, because we want to, if we could see stuff, if you give me $20 and you see one huge turkey, you say, well, that turkey worth more than 20, so I don't mind giving 20. Or whatever the deal is, I just use the turkey because that's what the Spirit revealed me to say just now. You know, it could be $200, but the car worth 1,000. And I say, give me 200. You're glad for grab that, right? Because it's a deal. All of us in this day and earth of time, we want a deal. But it's still a sacrifice. We don't sacrifice bulls and goats and heifers and doves and all that no more. But why do you think it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, that you present yourself, I'm going to use the word of God says, your body, as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. It's not even unreasonable, it is reasonable service. The other morning I went, let me give you this, Pastor. The other morning I went, and when we was coming down there to do the barbecue, I had to wait, you know how long I had to wait outside waiting on Pastor? He wake up and he was ready before, okay, you know what happened? The men fall asleep again and he, but he had to make a sacrifice to be down here. So you know something? Right, Pastor? You don't want to wake up no 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. None of us want church. Then a little bit after the ladies were here and they spent hours here and hours tiling. For who? For the kingdom. And then you went and you worked to make your little money to come and buy the plate to support the church. That was a sacrifice too, but you still going to eat anyway, right? If you buy it from the church or you bought it somewhere else, you still was going to eat. But you decide to come and purchase from the church. Amen? Why I'm showing you this church is because we have to be very careful with the sacrifice that we make. It's not the sacrifice we make for our families and for our friends and other things that I could go on is wrong. It's not that. The word of God is saying, get them in order. Get them correct. Get the ducks them behind one another then. No, get them all out, bent out of shape. You don't understand what's happening. We got to be careful with our tithes and offering. And I'm going to go to one that that is in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew, and then I'm gonna switch because I already give you what is your hindrance. I want to give you the next one is how to pray. Amen? We need to know what is hindering us from getting our prayer answer, and we need to know how to get the thing done right so we could get it answered. Amen? I said Matthew 6, verse 5. You're there with me? Amen? Watch what Jesus is teaching here. Himself concerning prayer. And I think we could learn a lot from this right now. Amen? And we could be very victorious when we go before his throne. Jesus, if you got the red letter edition, it's in my Bible, red letters, because it's Jesus. He said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Now, Jesus is not knocking the synagogue and where you do it. Is what you want it for. You want it to be seen of men. He said, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. So that's why we got to be careful how we pray, because we don't want men's reward. We want God's reward. Amen? He said, but though when thou prayest, he's telling you how to do it now. He said, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Everybody gonna see. They want to say, when they see your blessing. Amen? So you're seeing this very clear, right? And that's the last one. I'm not going. I got a couple more, but I'm going to change right now because I got lack of faith. And you can find that in Hebrews 11:6, where the Bible teaches about those who come must believe, and if they believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then they also have the next one that's in pride, in fasting, and tithing. And that is in Luke 8:11-14. You know, one that hinders us very bad too is doubt and double-mindedness. See, we pray to God, you know, but we still believe that the church can give it to me. I pray to God, but the brother won't give it to me. I pray to God, you know, but the sister won't give it to me. How you could bring it to God? Which is not wrong with believing that, you know, because God does could use the brother or the sister. But you have to pray and allow, make God do that. You can pray to God and still trust. Pastor, can I get this? Or pastor, can I get that? You already prayed to God, but it might use the pastor. I'm not denying that fact, you know. Because if you go to Luke 6, where he says, "Give and it shall be given unto thee, good measure, pressed down, shaken and together shall men give to your bosom." So many times, you know, it's the next person God has used to bless you. Amen? So don't get me wrong in that, but I'm just saying that the scripture is saying that if you're praying and you doubt, he says that we every man has what? Nothing to get from God. So if you're praying and you're doubting God, that means you're just praying because you feel like prayer. You're not praying because you're sincere concerning the understanding who God is. Because that's why you go before God, because you understand who he is. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. Those three things right there put God completely out of my category and yours. Amen? That is sovereign right there. Those three things I just used. Amen? Those three words. So I guess you, and if you want to find that, you could find that in James 4 verse 3. And now I want to quickly go into this part which I want to give you because it is important that you know what you have. He said, until we have properly responded to God and his word. You see what you need to do now? Grab this because this is important to you. He said, until we have properly responded to God and his word, he cannot entrust us with his powerful resource. The resource of God are not just any resource, church. The resource that God has is powerful. So when you become a source of his resource, you are powerful also. Pastor, then, how to pray? Thank you. Number one, you have to ask in Christ's name. John 14. Let's go there. We're going to drill this quick thing so we could... John 14, verse 13 and 14. He said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. He said, ask according to his will. See, many times we ask, but is it in God's will? 1 John 5. verse 14 and verse 15. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Wow. These are questions to your answers, and these are things that can help you to be a better prayer warrior. Amen? The next thing that is really, really important to us as Christians is obey the Lord's commandment. Go one page back and go to 1 John 3. Hallelujah. 1 John 3, 2. 1 John 3, 22. Thank you, Jesus. You there with me, saints? You seen it? 22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we kept his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He said, and this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. I give you that one. That one was extra. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to go so you get them because this is more teaching. Right? But you need the scripture, church, because when anything come your way, the first thing you go is to the scripture. If you got the word of God, you got life. And you just not have life. You have it life abundantly. Mm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to John 15. He says, abide in Christ. If you got time, read this whole 15. Chapter 15 of John is so powerful, church. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye shall, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This is a major one that hinder us, church. When we forgive others, I go to Mark. We're going to stay at Mark there, and then we're going to go to another chapter, and then that's it. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. Hallelujah. Look at verse 25 and 26. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. It says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. He said, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also may, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Got to get it right, church. And all we have to do to get it right is study in the word of God. Because you see, every scripture I'm giving you, I'm taking you there so you could see. And the next one is, when we believe. Because many of us pray, but we don't believe. We want somebody else to do the believing for us. He said, when we believe that we will receive what we ask. So important, you're right here. If you were reading a little bit above or below, you would have came to it. But just go right up to verse 22. Same chapter, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 22. He said, and Jesus answered, said unto them, he said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and he shall have them. Wow. What's awesome information you got right there just now, church. How to pray. And you use them, I guarantee you that your prayers will be answered. You could start praying for your uncle, your auntie, your niece, your nephew. You could start to pray for your entire family. You could start praying even for this nation which need prayer. You could start praying for Jerusalem. God says, you want to be blessed? He said, pray for Jerusalem. But if you don't know how to pray, then how would you pray for Jerusalem? But he said, those who bless Jerusalem, God will bless them. Amen? And as I get ready to close, I want to take you to a passage. Let's go with me to 1 Corinthians. Break down this passage and then we close. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery of God. He said, for I determined not to know any things among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, Paul is saying here that his intellectual understanding and my intellectual understanding and your intellectual understanding, if you're trying to understand God like that, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to work. Amen? He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He's saying it to you again, church. He said, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, until we surrender the deepest part of our being to the Spirit, we will never understand the Spirit of God. Verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, my intellectual ability to try explain the gospel to you is not going to work. I have to surrender myself to the Spirit of God. I got to show you, church. He said, here we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not in wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world, that come to nothing. See, many times our intellectual understanding might help us and it might do us good on this side of glory. I hope you get that. Our intellectual understanding might help us on this side. But what Paul is saying, that your intellectual understanding is not going to take you to the heavenly realm, because you need the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God is going to give you the revelation of God. And having the revelation of God, then you're going to have a content. Let me leave that. I'm going to take you there, but I'm not yet. Hallelujah. Verse 7, he said, but we speak in wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom that God ordained before the world unto our glory. Thank you, Jesus. The purpose of God concerning our salvation was designed by God for eternity and is directed toward the everlasting glory that the believer will enjoy in his presence. And that's the part of where I was trying to time to tell you that no matter how you feel and no matter what you're going to down here, All of that going to change. And you said, show me. Well, I'm going to show you in a little bit because I got it. Hallelujah. He said, which none of the prince of this world knew, for they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. See, if the Roman soldier or whoever we says, as the scripture says, that they crucified Jesus, if they would have known perhaps that they would have been doing you and I favor, if they know that they would have given us the unlimited justice that we have right now, perhaps they would have not even maybe crucified our Lord. But they didn't understand what they were doing. And they do it thinking that they were giving themselves justice. And what they were doing, they were giving us the victory as a believer. Amen? So the mind, let me show you. Thank you, Jesus. He said, but it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. I know you're going to say, Pastor, I know, I understand. I know my ear has not heard, nor my eyes have not seen. But these things are not just for your ears and your eyes that have not seen. He says, for those that love him. Can that be you? Is that you? Or is that you see your sister and you see your brother love God, but you haven't got to that point yet? I'm going to leave that because that's only between you and God. I have nothing to do with that. Amen? But I want us to read the scripture again because, hallelujah. It says, but it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. There's been a preparation that is already concluded, done, finished. And it's yours. But you got to know how to get it. How often I've been always saying this to the church, huh? We have to know how to get it. And it's not that hard, no. Hallelujah. Well, he's gonna give you a little bit more meat here. Watch what he says. He said, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You want the deep things of God? He's giving you the answer, right, church? I'm going to read. He said, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. It's giving you a revelation right here, church, and it is saying very, very openly to you that, you know something? I have to accept at some point that I don't know God except through the Spirit of God. Because too often, we believe, and this is not no godly belief, this is our belief, ourself, that we have this. How many times you told yourself you have it? And when you come to find out, you didn't have nothing. Oh no, I think it's only me then. Pastor, I think you're the loser, Pastor. Yeah, it's only me. I'm the only one got myself in that position, I think. You know, I say, yes, I got it. When I whoop my hand, peel. You know why? Because I'm thinking with the man
think, how a man think.
So if I want godly thing, I can't be thinking with my mind. I have to think with the mind of Christ. I have to ask God to give me his wisdom so I could understand godly things.
I'll break it down a little bit more for you, church. Amen.
He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world. But many of us operate with the world. He said, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How many of us could really, really, really stand high and say, I understand what God have for me? Because if you say so, I'm going to ask you one question. Where it is? That doesn't mean that you literally has to have it in your hand. Because it is spiritual, church. And that's what the word of God is trying to show us right now. This thing is spiritual. Because you know why? I'm going to break it down for you right here. I'm going to read the scripture and then I'm going to break it down for you. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This is content right here you're talking about. And what is content? Content is revelation. What has been really given to us by God? His word. You know what his word is? His word is revelation. You know, Abraham became the father of many nations. Did you think he came the father because God just had chosen him to be the father of many nations? Maybe that's a part. But you know why he did? Because he believed God. And Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. Abraham took God and he stepped out his boundaries. And he went as God told him to leave. And he found and he got the promises of God. Some of us might just need to step out of our boundaries. We are too comfortable. Let me leave that, church, because I'm still going to read this again and then I'm going to give you a little bit more information. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Because God has given you the word. Remember, I preached a message many months ago that I told you about the divine design of the mind of God. How many could remember that word? And you know who was in his mind? You and I. The divine design of the mind of God was you and I. He had us in mind. And that's why these scriptures are surely coming to pass. Because God understands that if he give you a revelation, you would have a content. And within that content, there is an object. And within that object, there is a hope. And now because you have hope, he's giving you a purpose. See, we live for a reason, church. We just don't live to live sake. We live for a reason, and our reason is the purpose of God. And within the purpose, that's why we could do good works. We could go around and do good works, and you know something? Nobody have to come and pat us on our shoulder and says, good work, good work, good work, good work, good work. No. We understand that we are co-workers with Christ. Amen? We'll read this down and then I'm going to thank you, Jesus. He said, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. For neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This answer your question right there, church. You might say, Pastor, why I can't understand the spirit realm? Because they are spiritually discerned. You must go before your God in prayer and say, God, I know that I am not the best, or I am not where you want me, God, but I want to be where you want me to be in the Spirit. Teach me by your Spirit how to understand your scriptures. Teach me by your Spirit how to live my day-to-day life. Teach me how to love my brother and my sister in the spirit realm. Teach me, Lord, to seek the Spirit, because where there is his Spirit, there is liberty. Hallelujah. He said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Hallelujah. He said, yet he himself is judge of no man. Church, that right there is telling you and I something, that once you live in the Spirit and you know the Spirit realm, you don't need, or you don't have to worry about what Tom, Dick, or Harry say, because they could say anything, because, and they will say anything, because they don't understand your realm. I'm going to read it so you grab a little bit more of it, because this scripture is so powerful to us as Christians. He said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. In other words, you, because you have the wisdom of God. Remember what I tell you wisdom mean, right? Thank you, Jesus. If you have the wisdom of God, you understand that person's dilemma. You actually see and feel that person's dilemma. So you're not going to behave according to how they're acting or they're reacting. Come on, church. Get me, please. You see what I'm saying? This is the things of God. When you understand and you know and you see that you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. When you understand and you know that it is not flesh and blood, it is a spirit likewise that use that person to behave or to act or to do the things that it does to you. The wisdom of God will register into your wisdom, that you will understand, you know something, I need to pray immediately for this person because this person lack. That's why he says we pray that we have discernment. Discernment gives you the will to understand personal position, and you will not retaliate. Many times that's what we do. We retaliate concerning the physical things because we don't understand the spiritual things. But when you understand the spiritual things, you will not retaliate against the physical because you know that person is not the person that is acting. It's the spirit that causing the person to react the way he's reacting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 16 says, he said, for he that knoweth the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind. You see what you got, church? See, when you have the mind of Christ, when you have the wisdom of God, you could conk the one person that will need to instruct you. Because you will already been instructed by God himself through his Spirit. That's deep right there, church. That's power right there. That's just not any word. You will not need to be instructed, because the very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the very spirit that is within your spirit that will instruct you in the right way. And I get ready to close with this last scripture in Revelation. Let's go with me to Revelation chapter 21. I hope you got meat out of that, church. That's some meat right there. That's some real good food. We have to. I read last time from Romans. When I read chapter 8, I read the last time where I show you that we have to operate in the spirit. Because the carnal man is enmity before God. The carnal man has nothing to get from God. So we have to learn to operate in the spirit. But if you don't know, that's where the Bible says that you could study to show yourself approved. A workmanship rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember I told you earlier when I first started that it doesn't matter if you're sick and you die. Watch what the scripture is saying to us. And I'm closing. I'm going to do from verse 3. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. He said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. See, God doesn't do things that he sends somebody to help you, or he send this, or he send that. He's going to be your God. And verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrows, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Right there. You read the rest, or you read any more, or search it a little bit more. What has already been established for you and I, if you come to understand it, it will amaze you night and day. Because it's already there, church. This is not something I'm telling you that is going to get done. It's already finished, done. Now we have to retrieve it. He says he came and he gave us the keys to the kingdom. You got the key. You know, I studied that, meditate on it. You know, I could give you a key to my car or to my van or to whatever. And if you don't take that and go and drive around and have fun in that car or do whatever, maybe go do some witnessing or whatever, you know that key didn't serve you no purpose? Right? So we might have the keys, but what are we doing with the keys? You know, if I had a mansion, which I do, and I give you the keys, and I say, go enjoy the mansion, and if you don't go in there and enjoy it, you just have the keys. And I could keep on trying to make more illustration to your church, but I think you understand what I'm saying, right? He said he has given us the keys to the kingdom. He said whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. He said whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What are you doing?